We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
I was 16 years old when I recorded this song.
Nice. Well done. Digging that drum track, man. You're just wailing back there.
Thank you. I was 16. That is my high school garage band from 1987.
Coming out of Dusseldorf, Germany.
Okay.
Tuxedo.
I didn't say that.
Yeah.
I just thought we would play that for fun.
I love that there are songs on that album we can't even say the title of on the air. So it's...
There are some. There are a handful. Johnny Grayson filling in today for Dana Wright. What's up, brother?
Oh, you know, just hanging out, doing my thing, and had a very uneventful weekend, which is my favorite kind.
Mm-hmm.
Got a little work done around the house, got a little work done in the basement, and life is good.
I didn't mean to get excited.
Not at all.
I have a run, do not walk.
Oh.
That I have to share with the audience. The new Roadhouse.
Took it in this weekend.
Yeah,
huh?
We did. Yeah, we did. Saturday afternoon, Jake Gyllenhaal,
mm-hmm,
as Dalton. It's awesome.
Okay.
It's awesome.
Let me tell you why I'm a little surprised to hear you say that.
Okay.
Yours is the first positive review I've heard from anyone.
All right. Fair warning.
Mm-hmm.
I loved the original.
Okay, good.
Okay. This one is better.
Wow.
Ooh, another sequel beating the original,
yes,
in Scott Park's world. Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's better.
So Aliens, and what was the other one?
Top Gun 2.
Oh, of course.
Right. Top Gun Maverick, yeah, which, I mean, everybody agrees.
I'm telling you right now, the new Roadhouse is a good movie. Anybody who says otherwise is a liar.
Is anyone who says otherwise thinking of this as an affront to Patrick Swayze?
No. Because it's a totally different movie.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that may also be why, yeah.
There are only three things in this movie that are the same.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Dalton.
Right.
He's a bouncer. And there is some sort of wire fencing in front of the band at the bar.
Okay.
That's it.
And I would imagine the fact that he's just a total badass is also going
to
be...
He's, yeah, a badass.
Okay. Well, that has, right, to be consistent. By the way, back-to-back texts. I liked it better than the first.
Mm-hmm.
It's horrible, OMG.
It's not horrible.
Back-to-back.
See, that's what I mean. I have heard nothing but negativity coming out so far. You really are the first positive. Now, I don't go by that. I watch a movie based on whether I want to see it and like it based on whether I like it.
I watch a movie based on whether I find it entertaining.
Sure.
That's it. Did I spend 2 hours sitting in front of this TV or movie screen, and did I find myself entertained?
Yeah, because I don't think it's fair to compare Jake Gyllenhaal to Patrick Swayze.
No.
I don't think it's fair to compare this movie to that. They're not the same thing. Go ahead, Sam.
I've seen a couple of clips with Conor McGregor in the scene. Does he look a little bit too happy to be abusing people on a movie set? Because we all know he's got a history of stepping out of the ring.
That's true.
Stepping out of the ring, if you know what I'm saying.
Well, yeah. I loved this take on Roadhouse. There is no Sam Elliott character.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It takes place in the Florida Keys, a place called Glass Key, which, Sam, would you look that up? I don't even think that actually exists. Glass Key. And it does not?
No, it does not.
Okay. So it takes place on an island called Glass Key. And no, my music is not on Spotify. It's on...
SoundCloud.
SoundCloud. Thank you. And it's under the name Tuxedo. It is a refreshing take on a really good bad movie. I mean, they're remaking Twister, for God's sake.
I was going to say, you also do love bad movies. A lot of people can't stand them.
I love terrible movies. Armageddon is one of the worst movies of all time.
Yes, it is. And it's awesome. The greatest.
I can't stop watching it.
Yep.
Red Dawn is one of the worst movies of all time.
That, I will agree with you on the first half of this.
Can't stop watching it.
I can't watch it. I walked out.
Twister.
Mm-hmm.
Roadhouse. These are terrible, awful movies that I can't stop watching. And when they remake them, I watch them again.
Now, if it didn't hit a nostalgia bone for you, do you think you would like it as much?
No.
Okay.
Now, I will say this. I thought the remake of Footloose was terrible.
I didn't even know they remade Footloose. So
they remade Footloose. It was terrible.
Of course.
Say of course.
You can't improve on perfection.
True.
Okay, for I'll the give text you that. Line, an honest breakdown here. If you're judging the movie by comparing it to the original, yes, it is absolutely horrible. However, if you look at it as a standalone, different version of the movie, mm-hmm. it's not that bad.
No, okay. I think the Jake Gyllenhaal movie, Roadhouse, is really good. And I think it's actually better, dare I say this, may God bless him always, it's better than the Patrick Swayze version.
Wow. That's hefty. I mean, that is hefty. That's a hefty amount of praise. Well, now, on the subject of good, bad movies, though, one of my favorite things ever is because I spent the 80s in a movie theater or at a concert. That was, you know, one of two places you were going to find me. Sure. So I saw so many obscure out there, kind of like me and 12 other people saw them. And one of my favorite things to have happen is to like quote one of them on Facebook and see the one other guy who saw it. Like, did you just quote that movie? And one of my favorite examples of that, there was a movie that came out, and I want to say probably 1982, called Hamburger the Motion Picture.
Hamburger, the motion picture.
It was a movie about skiing, and it was ridiculously bad. I mean, ridiculously bad. And
sure,
yet,
this isn't Better Off Dead?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, Better Off Dead's a great movie. But Hamburger, the motion picture, starred David Naughton, who was only in the Dr. Pepper commercials and American Werewolf in London. That was pretty much the extent of his career. And it was a 1982 jiggle fest of a movie. That's really all it was.
What do you mean jiggle fest?
Naked women everywhere. Oh, you know, ski bunnies. And this trumped up, you know, rivalry with the German ski instructor and all of that stuff, and it's so bad.
Course.
Yeah, right. I mean, you gotta have that, right? But it's so bad, and yet I cannot. That's the one that if for some reason it happens to come on TNT at like 3 o'clock in the morning, I will be up and I will be watching that movie.
Because it's so bad.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
That it's awesome.
And you have to watch it.
Yeah.
And if you don't watch it, you feel guilty.
Yeah, it's like oh, I missed it.
When I'm going through the TV guide, if I see Armageddon in there,
mm-hmm.
if I don't click on it,
yeah.
I actually feel guilty about it.
Yep.
I will say that I will watch Armageddon from any point in the movie. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be towards the beginning. I will hop in and I
even
will love it all the way to the end.
Even when he's stuffing the little animal crackers in her underpants, I'm like, okay, weird, but I'm going to watch it from here on out.
Weird flex, bro. But yes, there's a few of those that I think are just brilliant, awful filmmaking. As long as they were having a good time making the movie, had a conversation once years and years ago, and no, I'm not just dropping names, Sam Stevie, with Paul Williams. And we got around to talking about the Smokey and the Bandit movies. And his line was, those movies were a joy to make and a chore to watch. And so
really?
I was like, yeah, even he knew. He was like, yeah, we're making schlock, but it's fun, so enjoy.
I love the Smokey the Bandit movies.
Yeah, yeah, but nobody's going to look at that as high art, though, or fine filmmaking.
But that's the point.
I'm going to barbecue sorry.
I don't go to the movies to watch Lord of the Rings with their beautiful New Zealand, you know, landscape.
Entertain me.
I yes.
Well, and I think the difference.
Entertain me. That's right.
in the 80s versus today when it comes to bad movies is in the 80s, they tried to make good movies that ended up being bad, that were so bad they were good. Whereas now when they try to make a bad movie, they actually try to make a bad movie and it's horrible, i.e. Sausage Party.
Now, on that front, though, I will give you one that I think is one of the best movies of all time.
I'm gonna disagree with you in a minute.
No, you first, and then I'll hit you with my pick.
I'm going to disagree with you that I think that there were movies that were intended to be bad that were bad, but we loved them because they were bad.
Mm-hmm.
Porky's 1.
Yes.
Porky's 2.
Uh-huh.
Police Academy 1.
Which
Police Academy 2.
Yeah, that's
just
fair.
I mean, there were movies that were put out in the 80s that were intended to suck.
I want to tell you.
And they sucked, and we loved it.
We watched Police Academy last weekend.
It is so funny.
It is, but at the same time, I mean, you lose perspective on those things when you haven't seen them in a while. I don't think I've seen that movie since I saw it in the theater back then.
1984.
Yeah, and I forgot how much truly offensive material there is in that movie. I mean, there are things that are said and done in that movie that are horrifying from today's perspective. Well, I was there.
Like,
so,
like the Hispanic guy who sneaks over into the women's dorm.
Yes. And then ends up with the captain. That, and there is a name that is called to an African-American member of the cast.
Correct.
By another one of the people, by the bad guy in the movie. He calls her a name.
Correct.
That I cannot believe was
you
in a movie.
Not, and
oh,
you
no,
better
no.
not say it on no, the radio
no,
today.
No, I like my job. Thank you very much.
By the way, thank you, text line. Yesterday, speaking of 80s movies, was Detention Day in a very prominent 80s movie.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, it was yesterday, I think.
March 24th, 1984.
Was
Breakfast
the day.
Club, Saturday
was
detention.
That the day that Breakfast Club showed up for detention?
40 years ago yesterday, yeah. Just wild. But yeah, I mean, some of those were. Now, what I was going to say is on the subject of being able to make a bad movie that you know is a bad movie and yet have it come out awesome, it has been done, and it's been done within the last, I would say 10 or 12 years with a horror movie called Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
Never heard of it.
Incredible.
Love it.
It is so funny. And the whole idea is that it's one of those teen killer movies, where all the kids out in the woods get hacked to death. But in this case, the woodsmen in the movie mm-hmm. are actually the good guys. It's weird. You have to see it to believe it.
913-586-7798. John Grayson in for Dana Wright. She's under the weather today. That guy over there is Sam Stevie here on KMBZ.
Scott Parks, I have to make a correction. I've taken my own movie knowledge and tossed it right into the trash, because the movie that I was referring to earlier, the skiing movie, was not, in fact, Hamburger the Motion Picture. It was Hot Dog the Motion Picture. So I got my hamburger and my hot dog screwed up.
That's okay.
So, yeah, Hamburger was actually
about. You are
about,
forgiven.
There was a movie called Hamburger the Motion Picture, but it was about people going to a school to learn how to make hamburgers.
Even more shocking than you mixing those two up is the number of people on the text line saying, no, man, yeah. That was Hot Dog, not Hamburger.
That's right. That's true.
Wow.
And the fact that many of you have seen Hot Dog the movie is kind of scary. You know, there's a thing that happened in Alaska that I am still trying to piece together. I'm glad that you and I do not have to write legislation. It's not a fun thing to have to do. And no, this is not a politics story, but it does involve that. Here's what happened in Alaska. They were trying to enter the 20th century, which was still a century ago, but you get what I mean. They were trying to change the age of consent in Alaska from 16, where it was, to 18.
Consent to get married.
Consent for sex, marriage, anything. They were raising that level to 18 from 16.
Okay.
But they kind of did it. They had tried before and failed, which also raises some eyebrows. It's like, really? You couldn't get that done? Huh. And so this was added as an amendment to another bill that had nothing to do with any of that. But they kind of screwed up because it was a last minute thing. So they said, okay, we'll jam this in here and see if it passes. And it did. So the age of consent in Alaska is now 18. But they forgot one thing. that there's a bunch of people who are in prison or have been released from prison over time in Alaska who have as a condition of their parole that they can't be near anybody who is below the age of consent. But when those people received those sentences, the age of consent was 16. So a lot of parolees who are registered sex offenders in Alaska had 16 as the age of consent on their release papers. So one guy decided to go to the state and petition and say, well, wait a minute, my release petition says 16. You just changed the age of consent to 18, but we had an agreement that I couldn't, you know, approach anybody under the age of 16. So what Alaska effectively did was not only make it okay for registered sex offenders to try to date a 16-year-old, they made sure it was only registered sex offenders who were able to do that.
Those are called ex post facto laws.
Exactly. And they forgot to address that when they passed the new legislation. So now,
you're kidding.
No. So now the only way that you can legally have that kind of activity, you have sexual contact with somebody between 16 and 18, is if you're a registered sex offender. Nobody else can. Awesome job, guys.
Well, I bet there's going to another amendment coming up in 6 months on the next ballot.
You think so? Yeah, I think they're going to be going back and redoing an awful lot of paperwork.
Okay. Here's a novel idea. Maybe you wait till they're 18.
Yeah, I'm saying. Now, what I'm also a little worried about here is the guy who filed the suit. Mm-hmm. Like that guy? Who's watching?
How old is he?
Yeah, he's... I wonder if they say his age in here. I don't think they do. But yeah, I mean, he was in prison for a while. So yeah, I'm guessing he's at the very least going to be 30 or above.
And now I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah, no kidding. It's like, who's keeping an eye on this guy? Because he actually went to court to make sure that he was still okay to do that.
And he would argue, I was just going to court to make sure that I was clear and legal. But the fact that you went to court, weirdo!
Yeah, uh-huh. He was paroled in 2023 after serving 6 years of a 23-year sentence. So obviously Alaska was really taking this seriously before now.
And what kind of judge looks at that and says, well, I guess that means that we have to make sure that you guys can do that because that's what your consent forms say. Yeah. Not, right. Oh, well, the new law applies to that as well. Of course, obviously, it was left out in the verbiage, but that must have been a tough decision for that judge to make that day.
Yeah, how'd you like to be him his retention vote comes up next?
But Sam, you'll recall, we went through this last week, and like in the state of Kansas, I think... And God, if I have to go through this again and look up these numbers, I think in the state of Kansas right now, if you're 15, you can get married with your parents' permission and a judge's permission.
You have to have both?
Yes.
Okay.
Over the age of 16, you just have to have your parents' permission. There was one state, was it Mississippi? And I'm just going off memory here. Where you could be 14, and if you had a judge and your parents sign off, you could be married.
Hawaii was too. I don't know that they still are.
No, they've increased it because it would have come up on my radar. It was Mississippi where it was like 14, and if you had your parents' permission and a judge's permission, you could get married. Now, you could not. That was for girls. For boys, you had to be 16 with a judge's permission and your parents' permission.
Talk about antiquated laws.
Yeah.
Hawaii did raise it to 16. You're right.
Okay. I mean, that is just crazy. Can we just pass, and rarely does someone like me suggest that there needs to be a national law that Congress actually has to do something.
Good luck on that one.
Can we just pass a law that in this country, you have to be an adult, 18 years of age,
yeah,
to get married in this country?
It is incredibly odd that you can't buy cigarettes or alcohol, but you can sign a piece of paper effectively, in a weird way, the origins of marriage and where that document came from, giving your life away.
Yes, tying you to someone else for life. That you can do that at 18, but don't smoke.
Well, let me tell you, it's not always for life.
Oh, no. I'm there with you, too.
For break. Look at that.
Not always for life. Quick break. John Grayson filling in for Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
So if you're a local fan, the NCAA tournament was a little rough over the weekend.
What happened? Oh, yeah, all the locals are gone.
Everybody's gone.
Everybody's gone.
There is not a single bracket that is still perfect in all of the posted brackets on the internet.
Is it 0-0-0?
All zeros. Not one bracket still stands.
So, you know, I'm a huge – I went to Nebraska and to KU. Nebraska played on Friday night against Texas A&M.
Mm-hmm.
Nebraska has maintained that they are the only major college program to never win an NCAA tournament game.
They're a football school.
No, they're not, Sam. No, they're not. Not anymore. Nebraska lost on Friday night in horrible fashion.
Mm-hmm.
They looked really good for the first 4 minutes.
Thank you, Sam.
You're welcome.
So they've been to the tournament before.
Oh, yeah, 10 years ago.
They've just never won a game.
Never won a game. They are the only major university to never win an NCAA tournament game. And then there's KU. What the hell happened on Saturday?
Won it all, and then...
That was a disaster.
I'm just happy that we can stop pretending and we can start focusing on next year. And I think Bill Self has been in that mindset for about month and a half.
Did I hear a news conference with Bill Self when he said, how much are you looking forward to next season? And he said, I've been looking forward to next season all season.
Wow.
I mean, it wasn't
good.
Did
I hear that?
I did not hear that, so I can neither confirm nor deny. But we did not look good all year long.
If you, and again, this was just hearsay, or maybe I just heard something I didn't want to hear or heard something I thought I heard. And if he said, I've been looking forward to next season all season, what does that tell your players?
Oh, here we go. From KSN, I think for the last month, I've been thinking about next season for the last month, if I'm being honest.
All right, that shame on him for saying
either
that.
Way, yeah, I mean,
shame on
him. He mailed it in a month ago?
Well, okay. Yeah, you don't say stuff like that out loud. I mean, you may think that, but you don't need to go.
You don't say that.
Yeah.
I love Bill Self. I love KU. God knows I poured enough money into KU with my oldest daughter, Sarah. God knows my parents poured enough money into KU with me. You don't say that. That you've been looking forward to next season for the last month. That is so beyond the pale. Shame on Bill Self for saying that. Shame on him.
It's never quit, never say die. Let's go. Let's give it all.
You never walk into a game. I coached for 20 years. And there were times I knew when we stepped on that field that we were in for a fight. We were in for a big fight.
Mm-hmm.
But I never, ever stepped on that field thinking we were going to lose.
Yeah, upsets happen. I mean, teams that are overmatched sometimes win.
Shame on Bill Self.
Now, KU's women are still going strong.
Yep.
They take on South Carolina today at 9 p.m.
Okay. They will be removed from the tournament at 9 p.m. tonight.
And there are, yeah, because they're the best team in the league. There are a total of 18 remaining brackets on the women's side that are perfect.
Really?
It is the year of the upset. I know upsets write the story every single year.
Yeah.
But it is the year of the upset.
But Sam, it's weird because it's not in the men's. Not a single one or two has been eliminated. Of the 16 teams that remain in the men's bracket, 8 of them are 1 and 2 seeds. The only Cinderella story right now is North Carolina State.
Go Wolfpack.
They're the only ones left.
Anyway, I'm not watching anymore because there's no point.
So now what happens if everybody's bracket is busted? What happens to the money? It just evaporates?
No.
Well, every single year they offer up $1 million to a perfect bracket.
Oh, yeah.
And there has never been a perfect bracket.
Right. But I mean, if
it's impossible to get one.
So of all the people who enter a contest like that, I mean, you're expecting something back if you do well.
Oh, so if you're in like a work pool or say you enter like a specific betting pool bracket, then it gets divvied up. So it's based on who had the most correct guesses.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If it comes down to, so like there will be like 2 points per win or 3 points per win.
And you get, I don't office pool, but don't you get more points the farther down into the bracket you go?
Yes.
Okay.
And so, in those situations, obviously, the person with the most wins on their bracket is going to get the pot.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
But for the ESPN one where they offer you $1 million to get a perfect bracket,
you're either
they're
in
sitting
or out
on that million still.
Gotcha. Okay. That makes sense.
But it's free to enter.
Hey, can I give a quick shout out to this is a weird thing because it has nothing to do with sports, but I wanted to do this and give a quick shout out to, of all people, Peter Frampton. You know what happened? Check this out. Peter Frampton, I don't even know that this has hit the news yet, but there's a school in New York City called the Repertory High School for Theater Arts, and they were having a fundraiser to try to upgrade all of their music equipment.
Okay.
And one of the things that they were really looking out for, they actually have a guitar club at this school. What they don't have is a decent amplifier. So they put a GoFundMe out there and they had people donating to it. And they tweeted at Peter Frampton and said, hey, Peter Frampton, can you retweet? And then just said, here's the link to the GoFundMe and all of this stuff.
Sure.
Frampton tweeted back at them and said, what amp are you looking for? I can help. So he didn't just retweet it. He actually went the next step and said, hey, what are you looking for? You tell me what you need and I'll make sure you guys are made whole. I actually tweeted after him and said, dude, hit me up. If you want a donation, I got you covered. So
you restore amplifiers.
Yeah. And I've got a basement full of really high quality, nice vintage amps. And so I tweeted back at him and said, all right, hey, man, if you need anything, you say the word and I will donate one of mine, whichever one they want. So I'm waiting to hear back from Peter. I have not heard back from him yet. But the fact that he went out of his way to just take this on himself, I think is great.
I think it's great, too. I believe Peter Frampton is coming to Starlight later this summer.
You're correct.
And here is your local Peter Frampton story.
Ooh, do tell.
And I think I've told you this before, but it was off the air. I was at a Michael Franti concert with She Who Shall Not Be Named back in 2021, I think it was. And Michael Franti was playing on 8th Street. They blocked off the street between New Hampshire and Massachusetts. And they had the concert right there on the street.
Lawrence, right?
Is what we're talking about. Okay, yeah. Sorry if I didn't say that. And we showed up early. She Who Shall Not Be Named to Me showed up early. And we were watching the sound check. And my good friend, Jay Bowman, who played guitar for Michael Franti, once they got done with the sound check, he came off the stage. And he said, I want to introduce you to somebody. I turn around and Jay knows that I'm a huge, huge fan of Lou Gramm from Foreigner. And Midnight Blue is my favorite song by Lou Gramm.
Great song.
Midnight
Blue.
Wow. Hold on. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he said, I want to introduce you to Stan Shelton. And I said, Mr. Shelton, hi. It's nice to meet you. I have no idea who you are. And Stan Jay says, Stan played bass on Midnight Blue by Lou Gramm. I was like, oh, my God. It's my one of my all-time favorite songs.
Yeah.
He goes, son.
That's not the lead, I'm guessing.
No. He goes, I didn't just play bass on Midnight Blue. I played bass on Frampton Comes Alive.
Oh, wow.
And I go, what?
Uh-huh.
He goes, look it up. I play bass on Frampton Comes Alive. And so I did. Sure enough, Stan Shelton, and I have his phone number in my phone.
Yeah.
He lives in Lawrence. I think I may have given it to you.
I'm looking to see if I have Frampton. Hang on. no, he's not in there.
He just looks at me. I go, you play bass on Midnight Blue?
And he goes,
son.
Uh-huh.
I played bass on Frampton Comes Alive.
That's, you know, we went out, not to try to match stories or anything, but we went out, we drove all the way to Wisconsin, Jen and I did years ago, to go see the Zombies. They were touring Odyssey and Oracle, which is the album that had everything, all the big hits from the Zombies. And thought, okay, this will be cool. And the second thought was, I wonder who's in the band now. Well, it was most of the original guys. But the guy that was playing bass for them was a gentleman by the name of Mick Rodford. And Rodford was another one of those guys who played on absolutely everything. So we saw the show. It was awesome. They played some of the Argent stuff, and they played some of the Odyssey and Oracle stuff, and it was just a wonderful night. Went back to the hotel, and it happened to be the hotel where the band were staying. So we go, you know, to hang out in the bar for a little while. And we start seeing the band members walk into the bar. So, of course, I bought them around, you know, and a couple of them went back to their room. And Mick Rodford came over to our table and he was like, if someone's going to buy me a drink, I want to know who they are. And we sat there for like, I don't know, maybe an hour talking to this guy
about cool?
every show he had been in. He ended up dying like 6 months later.
Aww.
I know. And it was like, but just to have that night, you know, it was like, oh, he's
good
awesome.
For you.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah, it was very cool.
Quick break. John Grayson in for Dana Wright. She is under the weather today. She'll be back hopefully tomorrow. Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. By the way, don't ever say you don't learn anything from this program.
I would never say that.
Thank you, John. This is the original old New Year's Day. It was in 1582 that they switched over to January 1st.
I remember it well.
Do you?
No, I'm not that old.
March 25th. March 25th was long considered New Year's Day.
Why?
Until 1582. It was believed that this was the day that Jesus was conceived, hence his birth on Christmas Day.
Oh, okay. Which, 9 months from now is December 25th. I got it. Okay.
Right,
all right.
Right.
That makes some kind of sense, I guess. Well, Happy New Year.
Happy old New Year to you.
Thank you.
Dude, that five times fast.
Is there a traditional gift to get somebody for Old New Year?
I don't believe so.
All right, good, because I didn't get you anything.
Useless knowledge. Oh,
you know, the NFL league meetings are going on right now,
okay.
And they're doing a little bit of finagling of the rules. And one of the things, and Sam, I saw you tweet about this earlier today. The hip drop tackle is now verboten. You can't do that anymore.
Mm-hmm. What is the hip drop tackle?
Sam, you want to explain?
So in effect, when you are tackling someone from behind and you form tackle, and instead of, well, I don't know what the other option is, but they're saying that it's bad for the ankles of the players to throw your weight down to bring them down.
Right. The idea
is. Isn't that the idea of tackling?
Well, that's what I thought.
The difference is with a hip drop tackle, you leave your feet. So you kind of go out sideways and leave your feet
using your weight to bring them down.
Exactly. So you put your arms around him and you kick your feet up in the air and use your weight to drag him down. And like Sam was saying, when you do that, most of the time, your hip is going to land on the opposing player's foot. It can cause ankle injuries, so they're getting rid of that. But
the interesting thing is that they're blaming the hip drop tackle for all of the Achilles tears this year.
Not turf.
Yeah.
Right.
But
okay.
If you look at the replays of the tears, they weren't hip drop tackles that caused the tears.
Well, and enforcement's going to be a real problem here, too. I mean, is this the kind of thing that's going to be reviewable?
Basically, every tackle from behind could be argued as a hip drop tackle because they are running away from you. You have to leap to catch their momentum.
Right. And so if you grab them around the waist like that with both hands, you have to make sure that your feet are on the ground the entire time while you're trying to pull them
down. You guys know the USFL and the XFL have merged.
Yes.
How long until they become more important than me? I am sick of these stupid rules.
They're not doing themselves any favor. I agree with you there.
I'm tackling you from behind. The goal is to get you to the ground.
Yep.
Now, there are legitimate concerns that have been addressed over the years. Obviously, aiming with the crown of your helmet, bad.
Fine.
Sure.
I get that.
Targeting, blindsiding some guy intentionally, bad. Doing this to hurt someone's ankle, bad. However, 90% of tackles, this happens solely because of momentum.
Yeah.
The game is literally designed for you to wrap your arms around them and use your body weight to bring them to the ground. If you are sprinting at full speed, the odds of you leaving the ground is like, I don't know, 10 out of 10.
But if you, and there's no guarantee on the other side, even if you leave both of your feet on the ground, that your hip won't land on his ankles. So I don't even know that it's going to solve the problem they're trying to solve.
Yeah,
what's the problem they're trying to solve?
Hip drops landing on some guy's ankle and blowing his Achilles out. So
instead of just getting real grass.
Yeah, right.
We're not the problem. The players are the problem.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the NFL's never going to take responsibility.
How many players in the last season blew out their Achilles?
Oh, gosh, it was like 7 or 8. It was a lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
There were more than a few, but I mean, to Sam's point, I'm not convinced that this rule change is going to forestall any of that. It also doesn't help matters that your average defensive lineman now is, what, 308 pounds? So, your dude's got a lot of meat on him.
Is that right?
It's probably not, but it's got to be somewhere up there.
You know, I was a lineman when I played in high school at 185 pounds.
Yeah.
J.J. Watt, one of the greatest football players of all time, tweeted, "Why don't we just fast forward in time and put the belts with the flags on, i.e.
Right.
flag football?"
Yeah.
Wow. And good for him.
And I think, yeah, there's some truth to that. I mean, how far do they have to go before it's too far? J.J. Watt, for example, weighs 288 pounds. So, yeah, he was a big
dude.
He's a
horse. But,
yeah. And so, I can remember the very first offensive lineman, 300-pounder, to enter the NFL, and that was mid-80s. Now how many are there? All of them.
Who was that?
You remember
his name?
It wasn't Mandrich, was it? I'm trying to I just remember when it happened because they made a big deal out of it at the draft. It's like, he's 303 pounds.
Do you remember when the refrigerator, or the fridge?
William Perry, yeah.
William Perry. Now, he was a
defensive lineman for the Bears.
But he was, what, like 390-something pounds?
Oh, I don't know that he was that big. He was well over 300. I thought he was like 3 1/4, something like that. But, yeah, remember when they made him a running back in the Super Bowl?
He scored a touchdown.
Because, of course, who wants to tackle that?
His playing weight was 335 pounds.
335. Okay, there you go.
Quick break for the news. Doobie Brothers. Nice. News coming up next. Bobby Kerr, a.k.a. Bob Jovi, joining us for the next 3 hours here on Dana and Parks when we return.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.